That's the sound of me prepping the grill with Reynolds Wrap. And the sound of me not doing dishes. And the sound of me spending more time outside with my family.
Easy prep, cook, and clean. Make time with Reynolds Wrap.
I like the sound of that.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, we're back. And we're going to pray first because the opposition out there does not want you to hear the clip we're going to play. So now listen, prayer works, but if all of you will join with me, if you'll all just take a minute right now, trust in what the Word of God says. Just do that. Trust in what the Word of God says and pray with me. Heavenly Father, Lord God, Lord, we want to play this clip. I want to get the word out. We know the deep state. We know the Antichrist, the enemy out there does not want people to hear this. And Lord, it's always us. And so, Lord, I just would ask that you would come against the prince of the power of the airwaves, and, Lord, that they might be able to hear the entire clip that we're about to play. This we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Go ahead and take it away.
Hey, it's Tucker Carlson. The Biden administration arrested Donald Trump this afternoon. They had him arraigned and fingerprinted in a Miami courthouse like the accused felon he now technically is. These were the first steps in a process that is designed to put Donald Trump behind bars for the rest of his life. Cable news carried every moment of it live. It's unprecedented, they told us, with what looked like shock. But they weren't shocked. They knew this was coming. Everyone who's paid attention knew it was. What just happened was always going to happen. It's been inevitable since February 16th, 2016. That's the day Donald Trump made a blood enemy of the largest and most powerful organization in human history, which would be the federal government. Despite what you may remember, it wasn't anything that Trump had said about immigration or trade with China or rapists from Mexico. Those are the stories that dominated the headlines that year. Trump's a racist, they screamed. Stop him! But inside Washington, that was just noise. None of it really rated. Identity politics doesn't mean much to permanent Washington. What matters, then and now, is foreign policy. The invasions and occupations and proxy wars. The decisions that determine which global populations will thrive and which will die. The policies that come with trillion-dollar price tags. The ones that, over time, have made the counties around D.C. the richest suburbs in the world. In Washington, that's what actually matters. And it's obvious when you look carefully. When there's a debate about anything else, for example, the debt ceiling, both sides take their assigned positions and they start yelling. But when Congress decides to start a war, no matter how foolish or counterproductive or obviously disconnected from America's core interests that war may be, when that happens, the leaders of both parties automatically jump behind it like circus clowns. And then they stay there, sometimes for decades. They defend that war relentlessly against all evidence until somebody finally rings the all-clear bell and they can begin to admit that actually, maybe it wasn't such a great idea. We meant well, but it just didn't work out. The good news is we've learned a lot of important lessons. In the end, they usually do say something like that, but only after emotions have cooled and the damning details have begun to fade from collective memory. It's an apology that's not actually an apology, much less repentance, and it's years too late to matter in any case. But until then, that's all you're getting. Until then, no dissent is allowed. That's the first rule of Washington. But somehow, Trump didn't bother to follow it. He is from out of town, so maybe he didn't know it was a rule, or maybe he just didn't care. Either way, 7.5 years later, we can point to the precise moment that permanent Washington decided to send Donald Trump to prison. Here it is. It's from the Republican candidates debate in Greenville, South Carolina.
We should have never been in Iraq. We have destabilized the Middle East. They lied. Okay. They said there were weapons of mass destruction. There were none, and they knew there were none. There were no weapons of mass destruction.
Okay. All right. We should never have been in Iraq, Trump said. We destabilized the Middle East. Now, by the time Trump said that, a lot of Republican primary voters were starting to reach the same conclusion. How could they not? But it was the next line that doomed Trump to today's arrest. They lied, he said. There were no weapons of mass destruction, and they knew there were none. Now, when he said that, a few in the crowd booed. Most just sat there in silence, stunned. Can he say that? Well, he said it anyway. And by saying that, he sealed his fate. That was the one thing you were not allowed to say, because it implicated too many people on both sides, which on this topic is really just one side. Hillary Clinton was guilty of it, but so was Paul Ryan. All of them were guilty. They all knew, they all lied. And to a person, they hated Donald Trump for exposing them. After that, it was pretty clear that even if he did get elected president, Trump was going to have a very hard time controlling the federal government he was supposed to be in charge of. Most of permanent Washington decided that thwarting Trump was the single most important mission in their lives. Everything depended on it. Many of them said so publicly. But others didn't say so publicly. In fact, the stealthier ones took another path. They ran toward Trump, not away from him. They sucked up to him. They ingratiated themselves with the man they intuitively understood was susceptible to flattery, which Trump is. And they did this in order to subvert his new administration from the inside. There were a number of these, and you could spot them immediately. They were flatterers. Invariably, the ones who flattered Trump the most hated him the most and disagreed the most strongly with his views. You saw them in the hallways of the White House and at press conferences. They were there slobbering over their boss with elaborate self-abasement, as if they were addressing a monarch or a god. It was a scene from the Ottoman court. It was filthy and decadent, and it was false. Mike Pence, Nikki Haley, Mike Pompeo, Lindsey Graham in the Congress, they all called Trump a visionary genius up until the moment he lost power. And then they unsheathed their real agenda, as always the neocon war agenda, and they piled on with maximum force. Here's Mike Pompeo, for example, on Fox News this morning.
President Trump had classified documents where he shouldn't have had them. And then when given the opportunity to return them, he chose not to do that for whatever reason. When somebody identifies that, you got to turn them in. And so that's inconsistent with protecting America's soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines. And if the allegations are true, some of these were pretty serious, important documents. And so that's wrong.
May future historians hoping to unlock the mysteries of late Empire Washington study that clip, because it will reveal everything. That very same Mike Pompeo, the one who's sneering at Donald Trump on TV this morning, that guy served Donald Trump as both CIA director and as Secretary of State. Those are the two most powerful jobs in the federal government. And as he worked in those jobs, Pompeo promised, in fact, he swore, to support the president's agenda. Why? Because that's the way a democracy works. You vote for a candidate in the belief that his appointees will carry out the policies that you voted for. It's not about the president, it's about you, the voter. But Pompeo didn't do that. He didn't even try to do that. In fact, he undermined Trump's often stated commitment to peace and non-intervention abroad at every turn. His every waking hour was devoted to fomenting war in some faraway foreign country or other. Iran, Syria, Russia, North Korea, the list goes on. But rather than telling Trump that he disagreed with his ideas, as a man would, Pompeo toadied up to Trump, a man he despised, in the oiliest, most over-the-top way imaginable. Ask anyone who worked in that White House at the time. Who is the appointee most likely to tell Donald Trump on a daily basis that he was handsome, virile, sleek, and powerful? Mike Pompeo. That will be the consensus answer. Those of us who saw firsthand Pompeo's relentless kowtowing will never forget it. It was indelibly repulsive. No one with self-respect could do something like that. But Mike Pompeo did it effortlessly, with relish and verve. Now, this same person is telling Fox News viewers that he fears for the safety of our military, our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines, in the approved phrase, because Donald Trump took some classified documents home and didn't immediately return them to the National Archives? What a lie that is. Mike Pompeo knows that's a lie. He spent his entire life in Washington. Washington is a city where internal memos about Labor Day are classified because everything is classified. Your government has classified more than a billion federal documents, most of them boring and pointless and a danger to no one, and lock them away in secret where you can't see them because you may be an American citizen, but not really, and therefore you don't have the necessary clearances to know what's going on. And by the way, none of this is done in order to make America safer, any more than COVID restrictions were designed to keep you healthy. No, it's a caste system. That's the point. And you're the untouchable in this hierarchy. Mike Pompeo knows that. Everybody who works in Washington knows that. How many secret documents do you think Dick Cheney took home with him while he was running the Iraq War? How many did his wife read? She never had a clearance. We'll never know the answer because there is no chance Dick Cheney will ever be investigated or his staffers will be told to wear wires in his presence. He will never be indicted for this. Of course not. Dick Cheney is a neocon. Donald Trump is not. Dick Cheney supports war with Russia. Trump does not. That's the difference. The rest is just a distraction. The prosecution of Donald Trump is transparently political. He's literally Joe Biden's main political opponent. He's polling over 60% among Republican voters right now. So Joe Biden is doing what no president has ever dared to do. He's using law enforcement to lock up his chief rival. That's happening right now. Anyone who denies it's happening is lying to you. But actually, it's worse than that. Trump's prosecution isn't just political, it's ideological. Nobody with Trump's views is allowed to have power in this country. Criticize our wars and you're disqualified. If you keep it up, we'll send you to prison. That's the message Washington is sending. Not just the Democratic Party is sending, but both parties are sending. Like so many Republicans, for example, the supposedly conservative governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, spent yesterday totally ignoring the destruction of the American justice system. Instead, he signed a highly important bill called the Crown Act, which, according to the celebratory tweet Abbott sent commemorating it, will, quote, prohibit discrimination based on textures and hairstyles historically associated with race. In other words, in Texas, cornrows are now protected by law. Having unapproved views about Ukraine is not. That's fine with most elected Republicans. They find Trump tiresome and embarrassing. Their donors hate him. They will not be sad if he dies in jail. But what about voters? What are they learning from this spectacle? Well, mostly they're learning that they have no power at all because nobody cares about them. But they already knew that. Unlike so many of our elected leaders, they have been to America recently. They know what it looks like. Have you seen it? If you've got a few days this summer, find out. Take a road trip and see for yourself. Drive 500 miles in any direction and then come home. How are things looking? Well, they should look great. The federal government spent $6.5 trillion last year. That's more than any government has ever spent, ever. So at the very least, you would expect pristine public roads. Oh, no. That's not what you see when you drive around this country. There are potholes and Jersey barriers everywhere. Looks like Tegucigalpa before the Chinese decided to rebuild the infrastructure of Honduras. We don't have China buying our roads. So they're falling apart. You'd think the people you would pass on your road trip would look happy and prosperous. Again, this is a very rich country. But a lot of them don't. Quite a few appear to be strung out on drugs. You see them shuffling by shuttered storefronts in small towns. And you wonder, as you see all of this, where did all the money go? It's certainly not here. Well, it's in Washington. It's in Fairfax and Loudoun counties and in leafy, perfectly manicured Northwest D.C. And of course, a huge chunk of it went to Ukraine, to Zelensky and his friends. Not because you voted for that. You didn't vote to give it to them. You never would. But because Joe Biden and his many allies, from Chuck Schumer to Mitch McConnell to Paul Ryan and every single news anchor on all of television, all of them believe that Ukraine, its borders, its future, its infrastructure are all more important than the town that you live in. They sincerely think that, and it's obvious. Everyone in power thinks that, except for Donald Trump. Whatever else you say about him, Trump is the one guy with an actual shot at becoming president who dissents from Washington's long-standing pointless war agenda. And for that, that one fact, they're trying to take Trump out before you can vote for him. And that should upset you more than anything that's happened in American politics in your lifetime. Even if you don't plan to vote for Donald Trump, even if you would die before voting for Donald Trump, which is your right and a lot of good people feel that way, even still, the destruction of our democracy, which is the right of voters to support any candidate they want, even candidates who don't want war with Russia, the destruction of that should keep you up at night. Yes, Donald Trump is a flawed man, but his sins are minor compared to those of his persecutors. In this life, we don't get to choose our martyrs. We can only choose our principles, and America's are at stake.
Bring it back. Bring me back. Bring me back. Okay. All right, folks, there you go. I think he was spot on everything he said. And I got a quick lightning round here. Jim Jordan reveals new information on the Trump raid on Mar-a-Lago, on events surrounding indictments, which we knew all along. Now, here he just had former assistant director in charge of the FBI Washington field office, Stephen D'Antuono. He gave testimony raising concerns about the execution of the unprecedented raid on a Mar-a-Lago residence. Now, first of all, folks, here, they didn't use the Miami field office to do this. What they did is they brought in what was known as the Dirty 30. The Dirty 30, these were some of the same ones who did that phony kidnapping case with the governor of Michigan. Now, the Dirty 30 came in, and here, D'Antona testified the FBI headquarters made the decision to assign the execution of the search warrants to the Washington field office, despite the location of the search occurring in the territory of the FBI's Miami office. D'Antona stated that he had absolutely no idea why that decision was made, and questioned why the Miami field office was not taking lead on the matter. Well, they had the Dirty 30. These were guys that, what can I tell you? Well, also, their department did not assign a U.S. attorney's office in the matter, okay? Then you also had Trump's attorneys were not allowed in. They violated every law. This was basically, they brought in 30 stormtroopers. The FBI did not first seek the consent to effectuate the search. The FBI refused to wait for President Trump's attorney to be present. Well, in fact, when the attorneys came there, they wouldn't let them in. This was, again, state Nazi or Gestapo-type tactics that they used there. All right. GOP senator strikes back with plan to grind very, very corrupt, the very corrupt Merrick Garland's department to a halt. That's right. One Republican senator has a plan that could give Attorney General Merrick Garland's Department of Injustice pause about politically charged persecutions. Senator J.D. Vance pledged to block Obama Biden's nominations for personnel at the DOJ in a Tuesday video statement. I will hold all DOJ nominees, Vance said, of the plan. Vance announced the tactic the day. Obama Biden wants to find the most corrupt. He probably goes to Obama because Obama was the one that really started purging anyone who believed in God and country and the Constitution, anyone who had morals and values and integrity and honor. Obama would purge and replace him with his anti-Christ communist people. Now, so Vance says it's time we stop just whining about this problem and debating this problem and actually to do something about it. I've announced today that I will be holding all Department of Justice nominees that Merrick Garland will use if confirmed, not to enforce the law impartially, but clearly to harass his political opponents. That's exactly what Merrick Garland is, totally, completely corrupt. He's illegitimate. And again, I want to just keep telling you folks out there, you have absolutely no obligation to recognize any legitimacy or any authority. Now, I do want to say, when it comes to the FBI, I understand, I know that there are a lot of those field agents there are just like you and me, folks. They're, they're patriot. They're good patriot people, a number of them Christians, but they're not in charge. And they have, and you folks, you FBI agents that are the field agents, we'll stand with you, but you have an obligation. You have an obligation to turn over on Chris Wray and all of the corruption that's above you. You have an obligation to do that. The Bible teaches from Genesis to Revelation, okay? God's word, the Bible teaches resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. And we, the people, will stand behind you, but you need to turn over on them and get these wicked people removed. We pray tomorrow morning. We have our Thursday morning prayer. Tomorrow morning, our Thursday morning prayer, we will have Doers of the Word Baptist Church like we do every Thursday morning. And we go to prayer for about 9 till about to noon. Now, folks out there listening, if you want us, we have a whole list. All of you people out there listening to us, to send in prayer requests. I mean, we get hundreds and hundreds. We pray for them. we divide them up, and we each take so many, and we pray for each and every one of you that support us. We pray that God will bless you. Now, we also pray for people like Merrick Garland, for Chris Ray, even Joe Obama Biden, that the Lord will either bring them to repentance, that they'll bring them to repentance, or he'll remove them. That he'll bring them to repentance or remove them, folks. And that's what you're supposed to do. We have to stand up. We have to resist tyranny, even unto blood. And so, flashback. I've got an article here, folks. Biden promised to undertake every illegitimate effort to make sure Donald Trump would never again be president. During one of his rare press conferences last year, Joe Biden told reporters that he would do anything in his power to prevent Donald Trump from becoming president again. Biden was asked about the G7 nations and their potential reaction to Trump becoming president for a second term. After taking the White House, Biden and his, after stealing unlawfully the White House, Biden and his regime repeatedly said that the adults were back in charge. Oh my gosh, the adults. And it was potentially overturning all of the self-proclaimed adults that reporter was getting now. Joe Biden, folks, is as corrupt gets. He knows that when Donald Trump gets back in that White House, he's going to jail. He's going to prison. He knows all of what he's did, all of the bribes, all of America, how he's his masters, how he's taken his orders directly from the Chinese Communist Party, how he has sold America out to the Chinese Communist. And so, anyhow, that's why he's doing it. I think what I'm going to do is I think I'm going to open the phone lines at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And I'm going to make some announcements here. And Geauga County Tea Party, that's right. Two very important events coming up here. I know we're a national program, but folks, we're fighting here in Ohio. We are really fighting the enemy. We are really. And you've got this ballot initiative that the Communist Party has got out here. And they're out, what they call it to, it's what you call a petition. The proposed amendment to Article 1, Section 22 of the Ohio Constitution. Now, this here, what the Communist Party, the Party of Death, do, they use totally misleading languages and omissions. They tell you that every individual has a right to make and carry out one's own reproductive decisions. What they're not telling you is that that includes minors. No parental consent needed to needed at all. So, taxpayer-funded abortion on demand. This would do, if they got this passed, it would totally eliminate all of the pro-life legislation we passed. These are very evil people, very, very evil. I've been out preaching to them as they're out there with their little clipboards trying to get people to sign their petitions. They're bloody, blood guilty. In fact, tomorrow there's going to be a group going down, I believe, into Chagrin Falls, where they are set up on the square down there, and a group of Christians. Now, we've ran them out of several places, but these people, they're wicked, they're evil, and you need to confront them. You really need to confront them. Now, what this legislation does, it totally undermines parental rights. They say the state shall not directly or indirectly burden, penalize, or prohibit, or interfere with. Well, what this means is the words are specific legal terms interpreted by the courts nationwide to strike down any parental notification and any parental consent. Do you understand what that means? That means they're telling you your children, they're going to do whatever they want to your children, and you've got no say in it. This is what the Antichrist Communist Party is doing. And when it comes to the minors, they're saying an individual has voluntary exercise of this right. Okay, in other words, it goes back to your children. If your young daughters get pregnant, they don't even have to notify you. They sneak them into the bloody abortion mills. Or if they want to, if they're these young, confused children who are confused by these public school teachers that are totally confused by them, decide they want to, if the girls decide they want to become boys and vice versa, folks, you will not even hear about it. They'll do it against your will. Now, two things happening here. Up in this area, we've got coming off, it's pro-life kickoff, and this is coming up on Monday, June 19th. There's going to be a pro-life town hall, and the topics are the fall of Roe. Understanding the Ohio Pro-Death Ballot Initiative, that's what it is, and the abortion reality. That's going to be, again, it's held up by the Right to Life Action Coalition, Geauga County Right to Life, and Geauga County Tea Party, and that will be at the Westwoods Nature Center, at 9465 Kinsman Road, in Novelty. That's Route 87 in Novelty, and that's about 2 miles, or about 3 miles, actually, east of Route 306. And so, anyhow, mark your calendars to get to that. And who did you say we had? Let's go out to Texas. We got John out in Texas. Hey, John.
Good evening, Pastor.
Good evening, my
friend.
I'm
an Uber driver, and because of that, I get to meet people from all over the world. I recently picked up a lady from Ukraine, and she told me that they had a major oil field discovery several weeks before the Russian invasion. No one over here is talking about that. I've not heard a thing about it. Have you?
No, uh-uh. But, I'll tell you, again. I don't believe hardly anything that's coming out of Ukraine. You can't believe it, whatever. And that includes Fox News, too. There is so much corruption in that Ukrainian government. It's just unbelievable. So,
the Bidens are in with Burisma, who's into oil, and that's why Biden keeps throwing all the money over there.
Yeah. Throwing our money over there, and a whole bunch of it's coming back to him. That's the way it always works with the Bidens, yeah. It was funny because the other day when he was asked by a reporter, he had that smirk on his face, and he says, well, where's the money? In other words, we've done a good job, of laundering this money where people can't find it, okay? But guess what, Joe? You've been found out. But you're right. You're right, John.
I'm keeping up the fight down here.
All right. Well, you can keep her up, my friend. It ain't over with till we win, is it?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Thank you very much, sir.
God bless. Thanks for calling. Okay. All right. There you go. We got, it's C.S. Oh, my God. C.S. is with us. Okay. He is back.
Good evening, Panther.
It's been a while. Where have you been? Have you been wondering all about?
I have been everywhere. It's been a crazy last about year and a half, 2 years. So, first of all, Pastor, did you make any comments on the Yuval Noah Harari new Bible?
No, but I have that clip where I have that clip. It's an interesting clip.
Yuval Noah Harari says that artificial intelligence, AI, is going to rewrite the Bible to make it real and truthful. I got news for Mr. Harari. The AI that is going to be doing this is the doctrine of demons. And that's what it's going to be. There is going to be no truth in it at all. And there's a lot of people that are looking for answers, and they think that AI is going to be their answer, and it's not. Now, Pastor, did you hear President Trump's, and I call him President Trump because I believe he's still president.
I do, too.
Have you heard his comments about Mel Gibson?
No.
Mel Gibson and Jim Caviezel are going to be coming out in July with a four-part series.
Yeah, I know all about that series coming out, yeah.
Yeah, Adrenochrome and the human sex trafficking, specifically over in the Ukraine.
Yep.
This is something that is going to rock Hollywood. This is why Mel Gibson, you don't see Mel Gibson too much anymore. Mel Gibson has been doing a lot of his own production and everything else, and it goes directly to the internet. But there is a lot of talk about various people. For example, President Trump was asked about Hillary, and President Trump said, Hillary's not an issue anymore. It was almost as if he was telling us, she's dead, she's gone. Now, if you do a little bit of research on masks, realistic masks, you know, Mission Impossible movies, this is typical what they do. They have to tell us what they're going to do before they do it. So they come up with these movies, and Mission Impossible depends a lot on masking, people wearing masks to fool other people. Now, it's interesting to note that that's been going on, but even in the Jesus even said in the Olivetti Discourse that when there's going to be major deception going on, and it seems like that's what we're seeing right now.
Yeah, we do.
The Bible also tells us that we have what is right will be right, or what is right will be wrong, and what is wrong will be right, and that people will be going into the rocks and crevices to escape the wrath of God. So we're seeing all of this, and there's an awful lot of people, Pastor. I'm a ham radio operator. I attend some of these ham radio, they call them, meetings. And one of the main topics of conversation is, are we in the end times? And an awful lot of people on ham radio are talking about it right now. And I believe that we are getting very, very close. If not, we are in the beginning of the end times.
Well, yeah, that we started that. I think you'll find out if you read 2 Timothy chapter 3 and Romans 1. But yeah, we are in the end of the sixth dispensation period. It's very, very clear. There's not an argument. Let me just say this about Harari. You know, Harari's talking about his artificial intelligence. Well, Harari, there is an absolute extreme intelligence. There's an absolute extreme intelligence. And that technology is far, 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 far above anything man could even begin to conceive. And that extreme intelligence, Harari, refers to you as a fool. It refers to you as a fool. Now listen, if God calls you a fool, you're in more trouble than you know, okay? And you are, right? Now, he will laugh,
there's
he
no
says
doubt
he,
about it.
He will laugh, but he won't be laughing long.
No.
So,
yeah, and so anyway, he's connected with Klaus Schwab, which is part of the World Economic Forum. They're going to be pushing this central bank digital currency, the CBDC, and they're going to be doing it in a way that will make it almost impossible to not accept and use it. You're going to have to use it in order to eat and all this other stuff. God warns us about this. We're not to do that. These people are looking for total, complete control. This is why they're coming up with this new supposed Bible. I call it the Doctrine of Demons. And this is why they're doing this. They're doing it because they want total control of our lives. And the money is one way to do it. The religion is another way. They're trying to destroy the belief in God. This is why they attack the very first pages of the Bible. They do it all the time.
Do you know what, Steve?
The Big Bang Theory and all of that.
Let me tell you this. To come out with this, and I know what you're saying, but the people Now, of course, the apostate church is already there. The World and National Council of the Apostate Church, they've already embraced that. For the most part, they've already gone over in everything that God's Word, the Bible, calls sin and abomination, they embrace. But in my opinion, those and I'm talking about people, and so the neo-evangelical, if you will, churches, and I'm talking about some of your mega churches, those pastors that accepted the shot, the bioweapon shot, what they call the vaccine, those that not only accepted it but used their churches in collusion with the government to give people. In other words, they did not have the discernment, okay, to understand. They didn't see that. They were apart from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I believe they'll be the ones that will accept this. They've accepted the COVID. And the COVID so-called vax, and I believe they will be the first ones to accept this new Bible.
Well, did you see where Johnson & Johnson has pulled their COVID biological attack weapon off of the market after 19 million Americans have taken it?
Yeah.
There's a reason why they pulled it is because they realized that they're now in some financial difficulty because they're going to get sued.
They are being sued.
And there's an awful lot of lawyers out there that are standing in line waiting to eventually start suing these drug companies. And who knows, maybe Misney will make them pay.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see. All right, my friend, thanks.
We got other callers.
All right. We'll be back right after this.
Second Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up.
Lord Almighty, I feel the temperature rise. Fire, fire is burning above and below. World, 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 you've down been set on fire. It's me you're blaming, but I tried to tell you so. It wasn't his design that you should perish in the fire. It hurts to hear you cry. Burning world. Ooh, ooh, ooh. I feel the temperature rising. I'm not complaining. Love this new body of mine. Burning, burning, burning. Can't do nothing to me. Walking through fire and smoke, but I feel fine. Lord, it wasn't your desire that any perish in the fire. The difference was your cry from heaven above. Lord, it wasn't your desire that any perish in the fire. The difference was your cry from heaven above. Time's running out. The flames are burning your body. You're crying, please help me. I wish I knew what to say. It's hard for me. It's too late now. We're believing. Lord Almighty, it's even too late for them to pray. Lord, it wasn't your desire that any fury. Fire. Refuse was your cry. It's time to die. Just a hotter, hotter burning love. It's just 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 hot, hot, burning love.
This is a burning love. This is final warning from above. 2 Peter 3:12. Looking for the hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat.
You hear that, Democrats? You hear that, Democrats? You need to repent. All right, let's go to Cleveland. Hey, John in Cleveland. Hey, John.
Yeah, I heard you talking about Pompeo in context with some writer that you were quoting a few minutes ago, opposing the neocons. And I think the so-called neoconservatives are nothing but a front for the military-industrial CIA complex. They seem to think that, or falsely define conservatism as being a slave of that murderous cartel.
Well, that's what I had said earlier. That's exactly, and who else is a part of that? How about Lindsey Graham? This is
exactly
what I said. I would not trust anybody. I would not trust anybody that's a part of that military-industrial complex at all.
Exactly,
so.
And people, the real conservatives have finally been recognized, like Ron Paul, who used to simply call for nothing but focusing on spending on social programs, which I think are very necessary. But he never questioned until recent years these kinds of wars that the United States has been waging around the world in to the ruin of the United States economy, and based on total lies. If you want to check out Ron Paul, I think he's a real key.
I know. I've been on the radio for 50 years, and we've had Ron Paul and all those on here years ago. Rand Paul, and so yeah, I know all about Ron Paul. And
that's one of them, and also the fact that there's an article that I think shows a lot of agreement with honest conservatives in globalresearch.ca. It's been pointing out the same things you've been pointing out about the attempt to get rid of Trump, precisely because, though he's ambivalent about it, he's been the only one of the major candidates that has hinted at moving away from this constant warfare state that the United States has been poisoned with for 100 years.
Well, you know, if you listen to one of the songs that we play on here, it talks about wars we were never meant to win, and that was Vietnam. And I lost a whole lot of friends and men that I trained in Vietnam War. And, folks, that war we were never meant to win, and we had
We shouldn't have won it. It was based on basis of lies, fabrications, and the Gulf of Tonkin that never occurred. And killing millions of men, women, and children with carpet bombing, it was wrong. We shouldn't have won it. And I don't think that's the only way to oppose war, is to say that we should have bombed even more millions of people to death, or been even more belligerent and hostile towards them. We've got to move away from that kind of attitude. I believe it. And there's very few sources that tell the truth, as you just said. Some who agree with you that there's been a cartel of that military-industrial CIA complex to get rid of Trump because, though he hasn't been consistent, he has been the only major candidate to oppose those wars.
Absolutely. Got to move on, though, but thanks, John. All right, let's go to Dean. Dean, you're in the air.
Thank you much. Pastor, I know what we're that we're in a battle. It's a big battle. But everything's been written in the book, the Bible, King James, whatever book it is. There's a lot. And my question is that the efforts that we're trying to do right now are not going to change the prophecies or where we're headed. And I'm getting a little confused just because that it's already written. It's done deal. And what do we do?
Well, here, let me just say this, okay. All things are possible with God. He tells you in Ecclesiastes 7, what, 14, Ecclesiastes, 2nd, no.
No, that's fine.
Not Ecclesiastes, 2nd Chronicles 7:14, he tells you very clearly, if the people will repent, if they will repent, and that we could have at least one more time a revival. God can do it, but he tells you the way out. But the problem of it is you have to have people that believe, and today we're living in a society where there's only a very small percentage of us that still believe.
I agree on that. I totally agree on that. And I guess that's what we do. We fight and we keep moving on. And we know what's coming. So we just keep going. And I appreciate all your efforts that you do and everything you do. But we know what's coming. So.
Yeah, well, you know, the Lord said he'll bring the victory. He tells us what we have to do. He gives us three main missions. And, you know, it's we're in his army, and if you've ever served in the military, you know, you don't, when you're given a mission, you don't say, well, what about this or what about that or what about this or that. God is in complete control, okay? He's got all the answers. He knows the beginning from the end. And he's given us the three main missions. One, the Great Commission, first and foremost. Second, from Genesis to Revelation, it tells you resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. And three, he tells us to hold to the traditions of the apostles, to stand fast and not to back down, okay, to hold our ground. So those are what we have to do, those three. And he'll take care of the rest, won't he?
He has. I've been going through a lot of trouble, but I appreciate it.
All righty. Well, thank you. Well, God... Okay, let's go to Pastor Hal. Pastor Hal, are you there? Pastor Hal.
No, I'm Hal from Michigan.
Oh, okay, Hal from Michigan. You're up. You're the last caller for tonight. Then go ahead.
Oh, good. I have a good thing. I got a good one. I looked on Google. George Soros is returning 93 in August. He's going to retire. However, he has a son. And he's also a Trump hater. He is gonna finish what his father's done. So you got one guy, and he's retiring, and you got his son doing the same thing. So we're in trouble again.
Well, he's got several sons, but this one, the youngest one, is the one who is the most anti-Christ. He's most like his father. Okay, yeah. So anyhow, okay. Remember, there's a lot more of us, and again. Again, you know, it takes prayer. We have to run to the battle, and God has told us, okay, that we have victory in Jesus. Do you believe that we have victory in Jesus?
Oh yeah. In fact, the devil, the Satan, is already defeated already. So the only thing we have to do is we have to, you know, because a lot of people say, "Well, I'm going to wait till Jesus comes." Well, you have to. Like for me, I'm retired, so therefore, I'm going and showing the gospel to people, and give them the gospel, and so they can either take it or not. So I let God do that. I can't force them to do that, but I can tell them the gospel, and they can believe it or not. It's up to them.
Well, that's the way to go. I'm not retired, but I keep doing the same thing. So,
well, I got disabilities. So,
all right, my friend. Thanks for calling, folks out there. All right, out there. What is? We're up to that time. Everybody, there's a lot of anxiety out there today. This is not the time for woe is me. This is time to get up and get going. And so this is the time the Bible says that we run to this battle. We run to this battle. And this is when we place up our crowns in glory. This is where we're proven. We're tested here. We're living in what the Bible calls the time of sorrows, or the evil day, and worrying about it can do you no good and a lot of harm. But running to this battle, and by the way, you know, you have to understand, if you've ever been in a fight, you know, when you're fighting, the blows don't feel the blows so much as if you weren't able to fight it. You just stood there and took the blows, and so you need to get out there and be ready to run to this fight. I mean, really run to this fight. Many of you people out there listening, I know what we're talking about out there, and there are people out there that Yeah, I'm starting to believe this. I'm starting to believe. I'm looking around, and all of these things, like you said, is happening. Well, let me tell you this, and this is why we always wait to the end to give this invitation, folks, and that is because it's the most important. This is the last thing we want you to remember we said here. All the other things we talked about someday will become, well, they won't matter, but the time will come, and there is absolutely no chance at all that this won't happen. The time will come when the only thing that will matter to you, the only thing, is your standing with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that will matter to you, folks, because you're either going to be saved or lost. And it's not a tragedy to die. Everybody's going to die. Everybody you know is going to die. But to die in your sin, now that's a tragedy. That's a real tragedy. It's something that can't be undone. And so what I'm telling you is this. There is nothing more sure. There is nothing that has the truth that God's Word, the Bible, has. And here's what God's Word, the Bible, says. That you're going to die, each man, and then the judgment. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ made it clear, okay, you don't have to end up in hell. You're either going to go to heaven or hell. You're either going to go to glory or torment. There's no in between. And the Lord Jesus, what he did is he gave you an out. He gave you a way out of hell and to get out of hell, free card. And that's what you do. He says here, one, acknowledge the fact that you're a sinner. And you just, according to the Word of God, you're a sinner and you deserve hellfire, but because God so loved the world, what he did is he placed his son upon the cross. He was the only one that could have done it. Nobody else could have done it. It had to be a perfectly holy, sinless sacrifice. And he took your place upon that cross. And what you have to do is acknowledge that. You have to pray to the Father and ask for forgiveness of your sin. Then you have to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, all of your life. Listen, that means, number one, you have to place Christ before everybody and everything, okay? Now, if you'll do that, he'll honor that. The Lord God will always honor that commitment. And if you'll do that, you will become a new creature. You got God's word on it, folks. God's word cannot be broken. You will become a new creature, a born-again believer, an heir of the kingdom, and you will be indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Now, you've got God's word on that. Don't put it off. Don't put it off till tomorrow. Don't run out of tomorrow's tonight. Do it tonight. So, as we get to this point every time, every night at this time, we want to say good night. We do this every night at this time. We want to say, God bless. And then we want to say this, always, always, and I do mean always, keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
That's the sound of me prepping the grill with Reynolds Wrap. And the sound of me not doing dishes. And the sound of me spending more time outside with my family.
Easy prep, cook, and clean. Make time with Reynolds Wrap.
I like the sound of that.